Good evening. I'm scattered out, far and few between, but I'm glad that you're here tonight. I've got one other announcement that I need to make. I was going to make this morning. I put this nice thing in my envelope, in my Bible, so that I wouldn't forget to announce it this morning. And guess what? I forgot to announce it this morning. Every family has been assigned to a deacon. Family deacon ministry is what that's called. So within the next few weeks, hopefully, you'll be getting contact, if you've not already done so, by your deacon, the person that you've been assigned to. What is this really about? Why are we doing this? Let me say this first of all. For those of you that Charles Eddie's your deacon, I'm sorry, but we had to give him somebody. No. I'm just kidding. If Charles Eddie is your deacon, I want you to know that he is not the only person you can talk to. If you want to talk to Brother Jim or Brother Euless or Cecil, Brother Carl, that's fine. That's not what it's about. But this is for a point of contact. So what's this about? Well, we've got this handout that the deacons are getting, and it talks about how can a deacon help you. And I'm just going to read part of this because I want you to understand what the deacon family ministry is really about. It says, because we care for you and your family, the pastor and deacons of your church, which is Beaverbrook Baptist Church, are committed to the deacon family ministry plan. We want to make certain that every member and family in our church experience the love and support of the whole congregation. We want to be known throughout our community as a loving and caring church. So then what really is the plan? What's it all about? Well, here's some ways that a deacon might be able to help you in your time of need or what's going on in your life. Here's some things that it lists. So I want you to understand this. One is visiting you. And every deacon should make an attempt to visit with you when they sometime at the first when they realize who their families are. That's one thing. But it's not just that first visit. It's any time if you need somebody to share something with you, your deacon can do that. Another way a deacon can help you is witnessing to your unsaved family members. That's something that our deacons can do. To rejoice with you when there's great things going on in your life. They can rejoice with you, like the birth of a child, things of that nature, graduations, weddings, any of those kind of things. Deacons can rejoice with you in those things. They can be your friend, listen to your troubles and the concerns that you have. They can give you support in times of crisis, for instance, the death in a family. They can be there to support you, and I know they want to do that. Answering questions about your faith or about your church, about what Southern Baptists believe. We've kind of been doing that on Wednesday nights a little bit, but they can answer some questions for you. Listen, here's the thing. Our deacons, just so you know this, they are not all-knowing. But if you ask them a question about the Bible, if they don't know the answer, they'll get back to you. Okay, so deacons, I want to encourage you, if they ask you a question you don't know the answer to, say, hey, I'll get back to you, and it's okay to do that, all right? But they can answer some questions about your faith and things of that nature. They can help you know and have fellowship with other members and families in the church. They can put you in contact with certain people. These are things that our deacons can do for us, helping you find ways to serve in and through the church. And that's one of the points I really want to stress to our deacons is, when you get to know these families and find out what their strengths are, what their abilities are, what their talents and gifts are, let's find places to plug them in so they can serve in our church. They can pray for you and with you. And I think the deacons, that's one of the best things about our deacons. Our deacons are praying deacons, and they want to do that. So those are just some of the ideas that our deacons can do for you. I want to say this. What I've shared with the deacons, why I want to do this ministry, the main purpose is for them to be a point of contact for you in case you need them for anything. It doesn't mean that's the only person you can contact. My door is always open. If you don't get me, you try to call me, please leave a message. I will call you back if you leave me a message. But not just our deacons, anybody can help out. But I want this to be a point of contact so that nobody in the church slips through the cracks. How many of you know somebody who joined a church, this church, or another church maybe you've been a member of in times past, and they seemed like they was on fire, but because whatever reason, they kind of fell through the cracks and nobody followed up to find out what was really going on in their life? It happens, doesn't it? And so this is one of the avenues that we can use maybe to help stop some of that, all right? So that's what that's about. Please, I'll announce it again on Sunday morning, provided I don't forget. Marlene, maybe you could put it in the bulletin so I would make sure I say something. That would be great. But again, a deacon family ministry, something to help enhance our fellowship, help us be everything that God wants us to be, all right? So that's the announcement I had. Anybody else got any announcements that we didn't cover? We're good? Y'all awake tonight? All right. So some of you need a nap. I'll see if I can't put you to sleep, all right? Turn with me, if you would, in your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Eddie Jr.'s already said there's a new show coming on tonight. He needs to get out of here on time. So we will be out of here by 11. I have no idea. I think he was just making it up. All right, so 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Here's what Paul lets us know in 1 Corinthians chapter 13 in verse 12. Now, you know chapter 13 is referred to as the love chapter, right? The love chapter. I mean, I was going to read one verse, but we're going to read it all because I like this chapter. It says, "Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity or love, I am become as sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. Charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself. It is not puffed up. Doth not behave itself unseemly. Seeketh not her own. Is not easily provoked. Thinketh no evil. Rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth. Beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Charity never faileth. But whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. When I was a child, I spake as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know even as also I am known. And now abideth faith, hope, charity, these three, but the greatest of these is charity." Father, as we come to you tonight, again, Lord, I want to thank you for the opportunity to come to your house, Lord, to worship you. And Father, as we look into your word tonight, I pray that you would speak to each one of our hearts. Lord, I pray that you would help us to examine our lives. And Father, just show us if there be any wicked way in us. Show us, Lord, areas that we need to improve on. And we know we can't improve without your strength, your guidance, your power. So Father, we're asking you to work in our lives. I pray, Lord, that as we leave this place, we will truly be a changed people. And Father, if there is one here tonight that doesn't know Christ as a personal Lord and Savior, I pray, Lord, that this will be the day, the hour, that they put their faith and trust in Christ and Christ alone. These things I ask in Jesus' name. Amen. So, folks, I want us to focus on this as we look at this chapter 13, the love chapter. Let's remember this one thing. Anything that we do, if we don't have love, we're nothing. We're doing it all wrong if we don't have love. So let's remember that. But I want us to focus, if you would, look at verse 12 with me. That's the verse that we're going to focus on tonight. It says, "For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know, even as also I am known." As we think about that, and as Paul tells us here in this verse of Scripture, folks, he's saying, we look into a mirror darkly. That's what he's saying. We look into it darkly. I want to ask you tonight, how many of you, no, that ain't what I want to ask you. I want to ask you this. What is the first thing you do in the morning? And I don't want you to shout it out. I want you to think about it. What is the first thing you do? We've all got our little rituals that we do, things that we do every day. Some people, the first thing they do when they get up, they've got to go brush their teeth. Some people, the first thing they do, they've got to get that cup of coffee. Others, it might be taking a shower, whatever it is. But most of us, at some point in the morning after we wake up, or at night if you work, you work all goofy shifts, whatever. Whenever you wake up, one of the first things we do is we go and we look in that old mirror. Now, Frank already said that he breaks a lot of mirrors. So they don't have mirrors in his house. They've got actual steel, shiny steel. No. But listen, we do that, don't we? We look in that old mirror at some point in time. We look at it, and here's the thing. I don't know about you, but when I wake up, Steve, early in the morning, a lot of times my hair is a mess. I mean, it's sticking up in places it shouldn't be sticking up in. like out of my ears and out of my nose and things like that. But listen, seriously, when I look in that mirror, it's not always a pleasant sight in first thing in the morning. And you're thinking, yeah, probably ain't never a pleasant sight for you. But the thing is this, when I look at it first thing in the morning, you know, a lot of times I got my eyes look droopy, got the old stuff in the corner of your eyes you got to get out and all that kind of stuff. And it's not a pleasant sight. And some of you, listen, you might be making fun of me, but you all need to look in the mirror a little bit closer, some of you. The truth is, folks, sometimes we look in that mirror, and here's what we find out. That mirror, when I look into it, it's telling me exactly what I look like. And sometimes, like I said, it ain't real pleasant. And so I want us to think about looking into a mirror tonight. And I'm not talking about those little compact mirrors. Ain't that what they call them, compact mirrors that you women carry around? You know, you see them, Charles A., they get those mirrors out and look at it, and they're making sure the makeup's just right. And if it ain't right, they just close it and put it away. And folks, I want to tell you, that's exactly what we do with the mirror that God has given us, His Word. A lot of times we don't like what we see in the mirror. When we begin to examine God's Word and we see how we're supposed to live our lives, we don't, you know what, I'll just kind of skim over that one. And we don't want to look into the Word to see who we really are. Folks, the thing that we've got to understand is this. When we look in that mirror first thing in the morning and we try to straighten ourselves up to look presentable, and you know what, I see a lot of people out there today, I'm thinking, they didn't look in the mirror today. But the truth is this, if we're going to do that to present ourselves in such a way that people aren't going to be offended and make fun of us, now some of us, we can't help it, but we try to be presentable physically, should we not try to be presentable spiritually? Shouldn't we try to look, and listen, not to please men, but to please our Heavenly Father? So we need to examine ourselves in the mirror, folks, from time to time. You see, I truly believe that if we're going to be everything that God wants us to be, if we're going to be the men and women, the boys and girls that He designed us to be, to be the witness that we're supposed to be, we've got to be honest with ourselves, and we've got to look in the mirror from time to time. We've got to see where we really stack up. You see, we've got to have a clear vision of who we are in Christ. I want to say this, if you're in Christ, if you've been bought with the blood of Jesus Christ, if you've been saved, if you've been born again, however you want to phrase that, folks, if you are a child of the King, I want to tell you that as you go through this life, people are going to be watching your life. And what are they going to see? You see, when I look in a mirror this morning and I see things ain't right, well, if I ignore that and I go on and think, well, you know, nobody's really going to notice, you know what? People do notice. And the same thing is true spiritually. Well, I'm just not going to address that today. I won't look in the mirror today, and I'll go about my life. And you know what? People will see that in my life and in your life. And we've got to be careful of that. So we look at life, and we see all the different things in life, how we think we ought to behave, what we think we ought to do. We listen to different magazines and TV shows on how we're supposed to do. And listen, I want to tell you something. If you know any young people, teenagers, please be in their life to the point to let them know that what the TV tells them they ought to be, what these magazines tell them they ought to be, isn't what God tells them they ought to be. There are so many young people that just, their lives are messed up because they're trying to be something that God didn't design them to be. And again, that's a message for another day. But listen, here's what I know. If, as we go through life, and as we think about how we ought to live our life, we've all got our own ideas on how things ought to be. We see ourselves differently as others might see us. And a lot of times it's because we have a different reflection. We have another mirror to look at. And so I want to ask you tonight, what kind of mirror are you really looking into? And that's kind of what we're going to be looking at. As we stop and we think about what the Bible teaches, and from Corinthians, for now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face, now I know in part, but then shall I know even as also I am known. Listen, when we stop and we think about that verse, we need to remember that verse. And we need to remember that we need to see ourselves as clearly as we possibly can. But you know what? There are some folks that don't want to see themselves that way. And sometimes I've been there myself, and you have as well. You see, some of us, we look at ourselves, we look at an image, and we kind of look at it as though we're looking into some very little tiny mirror, one of them compact mirrors, and we don't like what we see, so we try to turn a different angle. Maybe we'll see something a little bit different. And folks, that's just not right. And the way people do that spiritually is they take the Word of God and they'll look at it and they'll just try to twist it a little bit to give a little light, different light on it, so that maybe, you know, I'm really not that bad after all. You know, they like to twist things like, you know, you can't judge me, those kinds of things. As my friend, I've used this a lot, my friend that used the scripture on me after I first got saved, well, John, it says to eat, drink, and be merry. And so that's how I'm going to live my life. He was right. It says that in the Bible. But he didn't read the rest of that story. He took it out of context. But folks, we do that from time to time. We will try to justify the way we act by getting a verse of scripture, and to be quite honest with you, we take that verse of scripture out of context so that we don't see a clear picture of who we really are. See, I've looked at my own life at different times in a tiny mirror, a warped mirror, whatever you want to say, something that didn't give me a good picture for what was really going on. And you know, the reason I did that is because maybe I wanted to cover something up, maybe because I wanted to ignore something about my life that didn't line up with Scripture. But here's what I've got to remember. God knows. He sees it. Whether I can see it in the mirror or choose not to see it in the mirror, God sees it. And the other thing is, other people see it in me as well. So I've got to be careful of that. You see, I believe that sometimes you and I think that if we can hide something and we hide it very well, nobody will see it. But the truth is, people do see it. Now, I've got in my family, on my mom's side, the Schweinfusses, that was her maiden name, in case you're wondering, it is German, pretty sounds like German, doesn't it? And it does mean pigfoot, so we used to tease mom about that all the time. But in her family, everybody had this big old long pointed nose. And I've got a little bit of that. Mine's not quite as big as some of them. But on my dad's side of the family, the Rogers, they all had this really wide nose. And I got a little bit of that, but not all of it. But I can't, listen, I can think to myself and I can try to look in the mirror and turn my head just so maybe it doesn't look as long or maybe as fat as it is. But it is what it is. And when I get out, people's going to see it. And so when I live my life in the spiritual sense, folks, and I get out there and I'm thinking, you know, I'm really not that bad of a guy, and I'll try to twist things and work things around that maybe people, they don't really see my bad side, but here's what always happens. Satan will come along, and he'll tempt me, and who I truly am comes out. Who I truly am comes out. Now stop and think about that. As a Christian, what ought to come out? Christ. Christ ought to come out. But sometimes, you know what, I find things of the world coming out. I'm going to be honest with you. If you're looking for a perfect pastor, you better get rid of me now because I ain't it. Oh, I try to live according to God's plan, according to His Word, according to the way that He wants me to live my life. But you know what, I find myself from time to time slipping up. And we call that sin. But folks, listen, I need to take look in this word. Psalm 119:11, one of my most favorite verses in all the Bible. Thy word have I hid in mine heart that I might not sin against thee. So if I want a true reflection of who I really am, of what's really going on in my life, I need to be in the book. We talked about this morning in Sunday school class about helping a brother or sister out in their temptation. Listen, if I'm not right according to the book, I'm not going to be able to help them out. So I've got to begin to examine the Bible and see what all has to tell me. So here's what I found out. Any of you ever been to the carnival or fair or one of these amusement parks and you've seen they've got that house of mirrors or whatever they want to call it, and you go in there and you look at some of the mirrors and they make you look short and fat and some of them tall and skinny and just wavy or whatever the case is. They make you look all different. They're not a true reflection because that mirror that they're using is warped somehow. And folks, I want to tell you, if you're taking your advice from the world, that advice is warped. So we've got to be careful of that. Here's what I found out as you go through some of those houses. You go through some of them, Steve, and they make you look taller. And we like that, don't we, June? When they make us look taller. Yeah. But anyway, here's the thing. When you think about that being taller, let's take it in a spiritual sense. You see, when we begin looking at things through the world's eye, we can make ourselves look taller. And generally the way that works is we begin looking down on others, thinking that we're better than somebody else. Folks, that's not a very good reflection of who we really are. Sometimes we even find ourselves where we've placed ourselves on a pedestal so that we can be everything that we think we ought to be. And here's the thing, folks. Oftentimes we don't even know that we're looking into this mirror that makes us appear taller than we really are. We begin to believe the lie that we see. And here's the way that we do that sometimes, looking in that taller mirror, is sometimes we just ignore certain people that are around us. Stop and think about it. Is there certain people that you ignore? You see, sometimes we get like the priest back in the New Testament, the Levite, the story about the Good Samaritan. We kind of get like them, and we kind of go around. We ignore people. We see a need, and we just say, you know what, I'm better than them. I'm not going to fool with them. I'm not going to fool with that old homeless person. Look how nasty and dirty that person is. I'm not going to take time out of my day to talk to them. I'm not going to take time to talk to that drug addict. That's all they want to do is drugs. You know what? There's a lot of drug addicts today that would give anything to be off those drugs, but they can't because they're addicted. And they need somebody to help them. Guess what? You've got exactly what they need, Jesus Christ. But folks, we've got to stop and thinking about that. How are we looking at people? And I'm sure that sometimes we do ignore people. Sometimes we do look at people differently, and we think that, you know what, we're a little bit better than them. And I'm going to give you a for instance right here. I know of a lot of Christian people, listen to me, a lot of Christian people that we think we are better than the Muslims. We're better than those terrorists. Folks, I want to tell you, I've got absolutely no respect for somebody that wants to kill somebody else. Okay, I'm just going to tell you my heart. But those people that are killing people, that individual out in Las Vegas that killed all those people and injured all those people, they're no different than me and you. They needed Jesus just like we did. So let's quit looking down on people. Do I think that they need to pay for their crimes? Absolutely, I do. But listen, they still need Jesus. I'm not a better person than they are. You know how I know that to be true? Because we were all created in His image. Here's what Genesis chapter 1 says. Verse 26 says, "And God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness." And in verse 27 goes on and says, "So God created man in His own image. In the image of God created He him. Male and female created He them." Listen, if we are all made in the image of God, and we are, why should we think that anybody's better than anybody else? Because we're not. And I'm so thankful for the cross of Calvary that made it an equal playing field, aren't you? I'm thankful for that. Folks, there's other people that as we stop and we think about it, they look in that mirror and they get a warped sense of that mirror, and it's not only being taller, they look at it and they see themselves as being smaller, somebody much shorter. And folks, these are people that as they look in this mirror, they think, you know, I can never be anything special. I can't ever accomplish anything. Everything I'm going to do is going to fail. You see, these are the people that they see a silver lining in every silver lining, they see a dark cloud. They've got it backwards. These are those people, folks. They don't trust God. God can't do anything in my life. I'm just a failure. And you know what? We know somebody like that, don't we? We know people like that, that think that they're just not good enough. And again, let's go back to what it says in Genesis. We are all created in His image. Now, I may not have the same gifts you've got. You don't have the same gifts I've got necessarily, the same talents, the same abilities. But guess what? God made you, and He's got a purpose for you. So I'm no less than anybody else. You're no less than anybody else, and we need to remember that. Both of these things, as we look in these mirrors, these warped mirrors, as we look at ourselves, whether we think we're better than somebody else or whether we think we're not any good at all, those are lies, folks. You know where those lies come from? Satan. Satan, the father of lies. That's where those things come from. And there's still others, not only that look in the mirror and see themselves taller or smaller, there's those others that look in a mirror and they see themselves thinner than they really are. And these are the people that, as they look in that mirror, they think about their lack of faith. They concentrate on every little fault that they've ever had in their life and say, well, you know what? God's got to be done with me now. He can't use me now because I failed in this area, I failed in that area. Listen, I want to say something. As you and I begin to think about our life, and we think sometimes about our faults, our failures, it's not always bad to think about those things as long as we're thinking about them and learning from them to go forward. But I want to say this, if you harp on them, if you live on those failures, then folks, I believe that you're sinning. You're living in the past. And we need to live for today. Do you think David ever failed? The Bible says he did. What about Abraham? What about Moses? I mean, and you go throughout, they all failed, and we've got evidence in Scripture how that they failed from time to time. Jesus, on the other hand, never failed. But folks, we need to say, you know what? If God can use somebody like Paul, stop and think about who Paul was before he met Jesus on the Damascus Road. Saul, very educated man, a learned man. He was one, more so than that, he was one that was against Christianity. He was the very enemy of God. He was, as he was on his road to Damascus, you know why he was going there? To stop the Christians. Didn't want it to spread anymore. He was going to get them thrown in prison or even cause them to be killed. Trying to stamp out Christianity. The very thing that Jesus was dying for, he was trying to stop. And yet God used him in a great way. Look at the missionary journeys that he took. Look at the churches that he planted, all through God's power. So don't give me that stuff that you failed and God can't use you again, because he can. Folks, when we look at these mirrors, the mirrors that we think we're taller than we actually are, or the one that we think we're smaller than we are, or even thinner than we are, listen, we've got to understand that all three of these images, folks, are lies. They're lies. Do you want to know who you really are in Christ? Do you want to know how that you really look to God? Look in the mirror, folks. Look in the mirror, God's Word. I don't know about you, but when I think about God's Word, here's what I know. I'm just going to give you, for instance, the Ten Commandments. How many of you in your lifetime, and I don't know how many people are here tonight, but how many people that are here tonight have lived up and kept all Ten Commandments? Yeah, I didn't think I'd see any hands, because none of us have we? So when we begin looking, listen, we can't do it. And I've said this many times. I don't think, Steve, that God gave us the Ten Commandments to show us what we need to do as much as he did to show us what we couldn't do in our need for him. You see, I believe when I look at the Ten Commandments, it's showing me that I need him, because you know what? I can't go without telling a lie. I've told a lie before. Anybody else? Marvin did. He's the only one who raised his hand. Jared. Okay, a few of you have lied. And then a bunch of you just lied to me. But listen, I can't do that. Men, I'm gonna throw one out to you, and you're going to say, oh, I never did that. The Bible says that we shall not commit adultery. How many men here tonight have committed adultery? Oh, you may have not had a physical relationship with someone, but men, I know how men think. I know how I was as a teenager. The thoughts, and didn't Jesus tell us if we think it, then we've done it? Ouch. But you see, I think, again, those Ten Commandments are not so much a rules for us to live by as they are some standards to prove to us that we need God. We need him, folks. I know I need him. But folks, again, we need to look into God's mirror from time to time to see really what it is, how we're living our life, what our life really looks like. You see, the only mirror that we can really look into and get a clear vision, a perfect vision, a reflection of who we really are, is God's Word, because it is the only perfect mirror. Amen? Man's standard is not, but God's Word is, the Holy Bible, the Scriptures. The only perfect image is Jesus Christ himself. Stop and think about that. That's our standard. Jesus is the standard. So when I look in this mirror and I think I'm something that I'm not, whether it's taller or smaller or thinner, whatever the case may be, I need to compare myself to Christ. And I'm going to tell you this. Every time that I compare myself to Jesus Christ, I fall short. I fall short. And guess what? You do too. And so when we look at Jesus, we think, man, that's the way I need to be. And guess what? You ain't got the power in and of yourself to be that way. But God said for you and I to be holy because he's holy. And he would not tell us to do something that we couldn't do. Can't do it in and of ourselves, but we can do it through Jesus Christ. Amen? The Holy Spirit leads us. But as we look into that perfect mirror to see the real person, the real image, who we really are in Christ, folks, I want us to just stop and think about something that James tells us as we look into that mirror. In James chapter 1, it tells us this, "But be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves." So in other words, we're going to look at the rest of that verse, but as he starts out, be ye doers of the word and not hearers only. Because when we are hearers only, when we hear the preacher preach, when we hear the Sunday school teacher teach, and we go out and we don't apply any of it, we're deceiving ourselves and we don't have a clear picture of who we really are. It gets quiet, doesn't it? Because I want to suggest to you tonight that there's been many times that I've sat in a service myself, that I've sat in a Sunday school class myself, where the Word of God was proclaimed and I just ignored what I heard and went on living my life. I didn't apply it. Folks, I deceived myself. Sometimes we come to church on Sunday morning and Sunday night and maybe even a Wednesday night, and we come in here and all we do, the only purpose that we're here for, is to punch that spiritual time clock and to go back home. Folks, God does not want us just to attend church to be attending church. He wants us to attend church. He wants us to come together as a body of believers to hear his word preached, to hear his word taught, to have fellowship one with another for one reason, one purpose, that is so that we can grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ and to share the good news with other people. I would have thought that I got an amen or two. It says, "But be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was." You see, folks, we are supposed to be conformed into the image of Jesus Christ. That's who we are supposed to be. And that is the only image that we ought to share, compare ourselves to. But I want to tell you, as we look at those verses of Scripture in James, what we find out is when we look into that mirror, and I've done this physically, looked into a mirror. I've kind of looked in there. Yeah, that's me. And I've gone on. I didn't change anything. My hair could have been a mess when I had hair. I could have had something all over my face. I ain't got time for it. You see, I didn't apply. I looked and I seen the reflection. I seen what was wrong, and I didn't take time to fix it. And I want to tell you, when you get in the Word of God, folks, it will show you things in your life that you need to take care of, that you need to repent of, that you need to give over to God so that you can be more like Jesus Christ. Has anybody here tonight been saved longer than 60 years? Miss Kay, anybody else longer than 60 years? Euless? Brother Roy, was your hand up? Okay. So the two of you, longer than 60 years, you've been saved. Anybody longer than 70, Euless? Miss Kay, 71? How about you, Euless? How long you been saved? It's been a long time. You can't remember. Can't count that high. Here's what I want to ask you to, because it's been longer than 60 years. And I don't want you to share this. I just want you to think about it. And I want to use those two as an example. Are you more like Christ today than when you got saved 60-some, 70-some years ago? Now, for you, it might be different. It might be 10 years ago. It might be 3 years ago. It might have been this past year. I don't know when everybody made a profession of Jesus Christ. Whenever that was, for you, it was me. For you. For me, it was 1979 when I got saved. And so I asked myself the question, am I more like Christ? If you're not growing, if you're not more like Christ today than you was then, I firmly believe that you ain't looking in the mirror long enough. I firmly believe that maybe you're a hearer of the word and not a doer of the word. You see, I believe that when we apply the Scriptures, we begin to grow in our faith. We become more like Jesus. You see, we've got to look into the perfect law of liberty. The Holy Scriptures, God's Bible, God's Word. We've got to do that, folks. And then and only then will we have a clear view of who we really are. Here's something that I've noticed as a father and grandfather. When your kids and your grandkids, when they are little, oh, they're honest a lot. Sometimes too honest for us, aren't they? But here's what I found out. A lot of times, grandma and grandpa, mom and dad, are much greater than what they really are in the kids' eyes. You ever notice that? You see, because they see mom, dad, grandma, grandpa taking care of them, meeting their needs. They see that part of it. And a lot of times they don't see outside who they really are. They don't see the struggles. They don't understand the frustration with them when all the bills coming in and you get laid off from work. So they don't see all those things. They don't see how that Satan tempts you in this area or that area. They just see you're great. You know, I can remember, Hannah, there was a time that Jordan thought his dad was a pretty great guy. You know, and then he got to be a teenager, and then I was about the stupidest man he ever knew. Now that he's got his own child, he sees that, you know, maybe dad wasn't quite as dumb as I thought. But you see, here's the thing. People's perspective of who we are, we put too much emphasis on that. We worry about too much what other people think about us. Brother Frank, as you tell me all the time, it's only about what my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, thinks of me. What he thinks of me. You see, and here's the great thing about our God, about our Savior. You know what he thinks about you and I? He loves us. He loves us so much that when he sees things that aren't right in our life, he points them out to us. And then we need to make some changes. I'll tell you the great thing about God. When I got saved, he's the one who made the changes. He's the one who made the changes. But folks, we've got to be doers of the word and not just hearers. You see, only that perfect mirror can give us the perfect image. Only that perfect mirror can give us exactly who we are. And folks, again, that perfect image is Jesus Christ. Amen. That is the standard. So I guess tonight, as I get ready to close and we think about looking into the mirror, listen, I hope you understand what I'm saying the mirror is tonight. It's God's word. It's the Bible. That's going to give me a clear direction of how I stand before a holy God. You see, as I go through life and as I think about being a father, you know there's instruction here on how I ought to be as a father? Do you know there's instruction in here on how I ought to be as a husband? There is instructions in here as the way I ought to be as a Christian. And so how do I stack up to his word? And here's the thing, folks. We've got to look in the mirror. I want to ask you, when's the last time you looked into the mirror? I'm not talking about when's the last time you heard somebody preaching or the last time you heard somebody teaching. I'm asking, when's the last time you looked into the mirror? When's the last time? Is it a daily thing? It ought to be. It ought to be a daily thing. You see, I'm not who Charles Eddy is. I'm not who Brother Jim is. I'm not who Manly is. And I could go on. Brother Roy, Euless, I'm going to get all the men out of the way here. Jared, Marvin, Brother Frank, Steve. Did I say Brother Roy? Brother Roy, Charles Eddy, Junior, Jordan. I'm not as them guys. So my life is going to look a little bit different than theirs. But here's the great thing. I don't have to answer for them. I've got to answer for me. Now, yes, I'm a little bit responsible because I'm their pastor. I get that. But I can't control their actions. I can't control how they live their lives. I can only show them how they're supposed to live it. And I'm not like any of you women either, all right? But here's the thing. Are you looking into the mirror? Or are you looking to see what the church thinks you ought to be? Well, you're a Sunday school teacher, so this is the way you ought to live your life. Listen, I'm going to say this, and I hope you'll understand how I'm saying it. I really don't care what you think of me. I do in a sense, but really what I'd care about more than anything is about what God thinks of me. Am I doing what he wants me to do? Because I want to tell you, if I try to live up to your expectations, there's no way, because however many people are here tonight, that's how many different expectations there are for me. It's true. Now, some of you might have some of the same expectations, but all of them are going to be a little bit different. But God's expectations are the same. Be like Jesus. Be like Jesus. You ready to do that as Steve comes and Renetta comes? We have a gospel hymn of invitation. Our way of inviting you to do business with Jesus. Are you looking in the mirror? And when is the last time? Maybe you need to look into the mirror tonight. Maybe you need to get to this altar and ask the Lord to reveal things to you. Only He can search your heart. Only He can do it. So ask Him to do that for you tonight.